Creative Industries Professor at Queensland University of Technology, Axel Bruns, wrote recently in The Conversation about some big brands and their struggles with Twitter. Professor Bruns says in the context of social media, brands are conversations, a point corporate PR and politicians might not have properly thought through.
I think they've really neglected to understand that the audience on Twitter, the user base of Twitter, doesn't just consist of established fans of their brand, of people who might go there because they particularly like a brand. So on Twitter, it's very possible and very easily possible to speak back at, you know, a Qantas, a McDonald's, or any other major brand to say, well, hey, I don't agree with your corporate policies, or your service isn't good enough, or your products aren't good enough, or whatever it might be that people hold as grievances. So when that happens, and when it happens very visibly, as on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, and so on, brands need to have strategies in place to really respond to that, and to not just ignore it, but to really have answers to legitimate challenges.
One way people are talking back via Twitter has been the creation and use of parody accounts. Qantas was successful in getting Twitter to suspend the fake account at QantasPR on the basis that people might mistake it for the real thing. The response from Twitterverse was for more Qantas parody accounts to pop up, the most active being at Qantas_PR. If the next step is legal action, the question becomes how to track down some almost anonymous tweeters.
It's possible, but at the same time, it's actually not that easy to find the people behind particular Twitter accounts. There's very little information that you really need to give Twitter to create an account other than an email address, and email addresses are easy to create themselves. So in order to really have any kind of chance of successful legal action against the people behind, say, QantasPR, you'd have to get their sign-on information from Twitter. You'd then probably have to get the information about the email account from Gmail or whatever else they're using. So there's a kind of a chain of tracking down the user itself, themselves, that might make it very difficult to sue them directly, as opposed to suing Twitter. And that itself would also be quite problematic and quite difficult as a carriage service.
One of the first Twitter defamation cases in Australia involved Melbourne man Joshua Meggett, wrongly accused via Twitter for producing a hate blog aimed at writer Marieke Hardy. The Sydney Morning Herald reported Mr. Meggett settled with Ms. Hardy for about $15,000. But his solicitor, Stuart Gibson, is now pursuing action against Twitter as publisher of the accusations. Sarah Del Popolo, principal at Axis Legal, had this to say.
Whilst the judges did agree, and it was the very first online defamation case in the Gutnick case, that would be actionable in the US, the recent cases in the US at the moment are saying otherwise. Principally because what they have is an immunity. Service providers, content service providers, which includes Twitter and Facebook, have an immunity against defamation unless they have created the content themselves in whole or in part. And that doesn't include just providing the platform.
And does that apply in Australia as well?
Absolutely.
Ms. Del Popolo cautioned that while social media platforms are immune from liability, individuals and organisations that administer, for example, a Facebook page, are not.
User-generated content, which is what social media sites are all about. It's about engaging with the customers and getting them to provide comments on your brands, hopefully favourably. But it's all about making sure and being aware that user-generated content is actually the responsibility of the company. So, for example, there was a recent case last year of Allergy Pathways, and the ACCC took action against that company because a consumer, obviously of the Allergy Pathways health products, and a raving fan, had put a statement on to the Allergy Pathways website or Facebook page, which was a glowing comment, but the effect of it was that it was misleading and deceptive about what their Allergy Pathways products could actually do. So Allergy Pathways, by not removing that comment, or at least clarifying to anyone else who read that statement on Facebook, thanks very much for your wonderful comment, but just to clarify that the Allergy Pathways products can only do XYZ. by Allergy Pathways not doing this, it was found that to have published the statement itself, and it was actually in breach of the Competition Consumer Act.
So two-way public communication appears to be an opportunity that comes with responsibility. UTS journalism academic and Canberra Times columnist Jenna Price encourages communicators to be honest about who they are and thinks the interactive nature of Twitter is a solid test for anyone seeking an audience.
This is actually liberating for both journalists and for the audience because you are able to get into a dialogue. I see that people who are used to not having their ideas challenged or their statements challenged, they're going to have a terrible amount of trouble. They're going to feel sad. They're going to feel out of control. And then they're going to get petulant and they do it all out there in the public sphere. And I think that's a problem. How you respond is absolutely key. You have to be who you are. You have to be mindful of the fact that you exist in a legal framework and take your responsibilities in that light. You know, we have to be responsible communicators, whether we're doing it on Twitter, doing it in newspapers, doing it on radio, and that's the bottom line.